You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 447, and we're recording this Saturday because I'll be gone on Monday, and there's some news that broke. We got some information on some coaching changes, and we still have some big news coming up, but we'll just give you the information that we know as far as Tillery and Tavon Coney. And do we have any recruiting information, Randall, that we're going to discuss?
Well, there have been a lot of offers going out 2019, 2020, and so there's a lot of offers going out right now. Guys are setting up official visits, and it's Notre Dame is a little further behind this year for the 2019 class as far as commits than what they have been other years. Usually they've already had a couple. This year they don't or they have more than they do this year. So it seems like kind of a slow start, but it's going to start taking off. Right now they have two commits, Cade McNamara, the quarterback, and Jacob Lacey, the defensive tackle. So they got two. They've been committed for a while. So at some point, guys are going to start committing. So I'll throw this in with recruiting. Jamian Franklin, who's obviously will be a freshman this next year, he his dad has cancer, and yesterday is when he did his, he donated stem cell or bone marrow, and I guess he said from what it sounded like, he had a pretty miserable week prepping for that, and from what I've heard before, that there's a lot of pain that goes in with that.
With the bone marrow with the donating transplanting.
And stuff, yeah. But he did that for his dad, and, obviously, that's a huge thing to do that for someone, especially, it shouldn't affect him at all as far as football, but
yeah,
still he's doing
but
everything.
Still dealing with that is still an emotional drain, and
yeah,
definitely, yeah, hope that everything goes well there.
Yeah. I'll just throw this in now. The national championship game was last Monday night, and it was kind of funny. There's one of their star players. Here, let me find him. Minka Fitzpatrick, he missed the game-winning play. Well, he wasn't watching it because he was in the porta potty at the time. So, just I had to laugh when I saw that the other day.
That was a great game. I thought I was wrong. I thought that Georgia was going to actually stick it to Alabama.
I did too. There's something about teams from Atlanta being able to hold a lead in championship games.
I think it's kind of funny that Alabama ended up going to their backup quarterback and ended up winning the game. They didn't stick with the guy that played for them all season long. And Notre Dame kind of did the same thing, although Notre Dame was planning on it from the beginning. They were planning on playing Ian Book.
Saban was struggling. He was like, hey, why don't I try something Brian Kelly does?
I'm sure that did not happen.
Okay. But only Alabama, and Georgia did too, could bring in true freshmen to win the game for you. The quarterback, the running back. Anyways.
All right, let's talk about Notre Dame. So the coaching changes. We found out who the defensive coordinator is. Notre Dame decides to stay in-house, promoting Clark Lee. He'll still coach linebackers, but he'll also be the defensive coordinator. And Elston was also in the mix there. And I don't know. There definitely have been rumblings, but maybe Elston isn't too happy. Brian Kelly did also promote Elston, but to me, it sounds like the same promotion he got a year ago, when he was seeking out the defensive coordinator job, and he was elevated. And I thought that pretty much the same verbiage was used as far as Mike Elston will be taking the place of Brian Kelly in some instances, speaking for him and filling some of his roles and be attending more meetings. I thought that was pretty much the exact same thing that was said a year ago. So I understand why Elston would be getting frustrated, because he has been with Brian Kelly for a long time. I think I saw somewhere it might have been around 13 years. So he has, and I don't know if that's the exact number, but it's been, regardless, it's been a while. And he hasn't been elevated to a big position like defensive coordinator or, I mean, I don't think offensive coordinator would really be his realm of expertise. He was recruiting coordinator for a while, or for some time, I guess, but that's not the same level as a defensive coordinator. So I think we both agree, and we were talking about it, as far as if you're, I think we both felt roll the dice, try to go with continuity, unless there's a home run hire out there, and that's what they did. And if it doesn't work out with Mike Lee, then get rid of him. I mean, if the defense is awful next year, don't give it a second year. In my opinion, go with the home run hire, the proven candidate at that point.
Yeah.
But I think it's worth rolling the dice to keep that continuity. And we still don't know. The deadline for players declaring for the NFL is coming up soon. I believe it's Monday the 15th. And so it's a few days away. We still haven't heard from Coney or from Tillery. And so I did hear that Tillery wasn't really that affected as far as Elko being fired and Clark Lee being promoted, because Elston is his position coach and he loves Elston. And I guess maybe it would have helped him if Elston would be the defensive coordinator, but maybe he wouldn't be the defensive line coach then. I don't know how that would shake out.
Yeah. Well, with Elston, one of the differences with the title maybe is he can get paid more. So with his title now, he can get paid more, and there can be a lot of assistant head coaches on the team, but you can only have one associate head coach. So as far as that, I mean, he's getting, I don't know, maybe he probably got a pay raise with it.
Okay, I'm sure he did.
So, yeah, who knows what, otherwise, how much will change. But Brian Kelly's just convinced, you know, that he's going to be a head coach. But I agree, I think he could be a head coach, but why aren't those offers coming in? Like, surely some smaller schools would be sending him offers at this point if he's close to being a head coach.
But I think you need to be a coordinator first. Because I don't know. I feel like you need to have proven that, hey, you can manage one side of the football.
He's special teams coordinator.
And recruiting coordinator. Was he special teams coordinator?
Yeah.
Okay.
I
think it's rare. I think it's rare that someone gets a head coaching job, unless it would be a really, really small school, maybe in the FCS somewhere.
Yeah. We'll wait and see. Maybe Brian Kelly's grooming him so that he can step down and they can.
Well, I hope the next coach is someone that does have head coaching experience somewhere, but maybe. So I think the worst fallout from this is that Elston isn't satisfied, and there is a lack of continuity between the coaching staff. I think it was at this point. Or Clark Lee just can't call a football game or manage an entire defense, I guess. That would be worst-case scenario. And I don't think that'll happen. There's a lot of...
I'm not totally sold on him being unhappy, because he's been with Brian Kelly so long. And if this makes him unhappy, he should have been unhappy a long time ago. Because if you look at all the position, what he's coached stuff, he's always kind of been there. He should have been unhappy a long time. I think we all kind of expect him to be unhappy. Like, we think he should be unhappy, maybe. So I'm not completely convinced that he's that unhappy about it. But
yeah,
who knows? Who knows what goes on behind closed doors? But he's obviously with Brian Kelly a lot, especially if there's any kind of friction there, something's going to happen. You're not going to try to stick it out.
Yeah.
It's one thing if he's like a safeties coach and Brian Kelly's a head coach, you know, maybe you don't have to see each other, but these two guys are together all the time. Mm-hmm. So
so with Clark Lee coaching linebackers and being the defensive coordinator, that opens up the possibility for a safeties coach. Todd Light has done a really good job with the cornerbacks.
But now it's safeties.
Well, but neither did Elko last year. So maybe it is more a lack of freaking talent than it is coaching at that position.
Yeah, I think that's some of it. But the safeties weren't. I think they hit the rest of the defense with Elko, how he ran the defense. He was able to hide a lot of the flaws for the safeties. But they weren't making the big mistakes like they were a year ago.
They were tackling well. They were good at the line of scrimmage. They were good.
Here's the thing. You didn't hear much from them because they kind of kept them from getting to the safeties. They weren't making big plays, and they weren't giving up a lot of big plays, mm-hmm. you could say. But like last year, they were giving up a lot of – it was bad.
But everyone was giving up a lot of plays.
I know, but you basically had the same corners as well. You had a lot of the same guys, and for some reason, they did improve. Yeah, they were still bad this year, but I think it was better. And I do not want Light to be the safeties coach again. He's doing a very good job with the cornerbacks, and I think they should keep it like that.
I agree. You have room or a position, a spot for a safeties coach. Get a safeties coach. Even because I think Light couldn't do it if you would try again. But if you have the position, then get someone dedicated to it. I mean, maximize everything. And then, of course, we haven't talked about Harry Hiestand, but that spot needs to be filled up. And really, this is where, and this has been noted before, but probably Notre Dame's two best position or assistant coaches are no longer with the team, or at least proven. Harry Hiestand was proven, and you can say that the offensive line was mediocre, but that's just not true. The offensive line is the reason that Notre Dame was able to put up as many touchdowns as they did this year. I mean, the running game would not have been what it was. Josh Adams broke a lot of tackles. He did. But the offensive line also created a lot of lanes and blew up a lot of plays.
Yeah, they did improve. Last year was kind of questionable as to everybody sings the praises of Harry Hiestand, and the line hadn't lived up to it. Like, it seemed like they were making bad mistakes, but they did play very well this year.
Do you think part of that was because we saw our defense struggle so much to do anything versus the opposing offense, and it just appeared like the offense should be able to walk over the defense? Why is our offense not able to walk over their defense?
Yeah. Oh, that could be some of it. But something Harry Hiestand did, I mean, there's a lot of NFL talent. He turned those guys into NFL players. From 2000 to 2011, there have been two first-rounders from Notre Dame. Brady Quinn. Total.
As a whole team.
Brady Quinn and Jeff Fain.
And really, Brady Quinn should not have been a first-rounder.
Well, maybe if he would have gone to the Browns. Anyways.
That is true. If the Browns would not be in the NFL, he probably would not be a first-rounder.
In the last 5 years, there have been four first-round picks on the offensive line. And then you have a couple other guys. You have Nick Martin was a second-round pick. Chris Watt was a third-round. Which, when I say four, that's assuming that McClinchy and Nelson both go in the first round.
Okay.
Which Nelson is for sure. There was actually one report the other day where McClinchy was not in the top 60 players for the NFL.
I think he will be. I mean, Pro Football Focus rated him out as the number one tackle.
I think so, too. That's including them.
Yeah, and he probably won't be a left tackle. He'll probably be a right tackle. But regardless, I think he'll go anyway.
Yeah, but with Harry Hiestand, I was not expecting him to go. I didn't. It seemed like he obviously loves coaching the offensive line. That's all you hear from players, coaches.
He wasn't going to go try to get a coordinator job somewhere.
No. He was an offensive line coach. I don't think he would have liked the media attention he would have got as a coordinator, because obviously him and his players, even with the
TV show,
a season with. Yeah. He's hardly on there. They did not want him in their coaching room or anything. They just didn't want to be on there. But I think about the best reason I heard, he was with the Bears before. And one thing there, he's getting older, and he can go to the Bears, get paid more, and he doesn't have to recruit. I could see the recruiting part of it kind of start to get old. As you get older, just traveling.
Oh, definitely.
And trying to figure out what teenagers are going to do.
Especially with Notre Dame, where you're not recruiting in driving distance. You pretty much fly where you're going to recruit. It's not just a few hours here and there.
Even with Heastan, it was almost like he picked out who he wanted, and he got them early.
Yeah.
So he did a very good job of that, and he got it over with quickly. I mean, I was this year, they're still going after an offensive lineman, but most years he picked out the guys he wanted, had them in the class early, and then his recruiting was kind of done.
There is a chance that Notre Dame miffs on the next offensive line coach. I mean, it's not just automatic that you have offensive lines like we've had, and I think fans have been their expectations have been too high with the offensive line, and they've grown accustomed to solid offensive line play. And there probably are a lot of really good options out there, and I've seen some of the names floating around. But it's not automatic that the offensive line unit is going to be able to keep on performing where it was at.
Yeah. They do have one guy on the staff, Jeff Quinn.
And they're going to take a step. They were going to take a step back. Even with Harry there, this upcoming season,
I agree.
They're going to take a step back. So
you can't blame the bad put.
Yeah, let's be slow to judge this offensive coach. Even though I'm saying there's no guarantee he's going to be a perfect replacement.
Jeff Quinn is obviously back on the staff. He was the offensive line coach for Brian Kelly before, and he's been on the staff. Was it 2 years now? And so he's an option. I don't know. I don't think they're going to get him. I think they're going to get somebody outside, but that is one guy that could be an option. Some names out there. Rick Trickett, he used to be at Florida State, and another guy from Iowa, Brian Ferentz, and Tom Manning from Iowa State. Those are some names. The one that I kind of like is the guy from Boston College. I don't have his name in front of me right now, but he was in charge of their run game and their offensive line. And Boston College is always you know how the games have been, Notre Dame games have been against against Boston College. Mm-hmm. They might not have scored a lot of time, but it was always a tough matchup for Notre Dame. And
Justin Fry, is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, I think so. So there's some guys out there. They'll have a lot of talent to work with when they come in. So, but yeah, like you said, I think we have to be slow to judge because they were going to take a step back regardless.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the plan, as far as the coaching, I mean, the plan is to bring in a safeties coach. I mean, it looks like Tommy Reese is going to get his, which they haven't announced that anything, but it was very likely that Tommy Reese is going to be that next coach, the 10th coach. But they are planning to bring in a safeties coach, which I think is a great idea because they need somebody dedicated to the safeties because they are going to have bodies back there next year. It's just a matter of getting them to perform.
Back to Clark Lee, there is some reporters were saying that if Clark Lee would not have been promoted to defensive coordinator, that he would have followed Elko to A&M.
I was worried about that.
I was too. Right when it happened, I thought, oh, I wonder if Lee is going to go with them.
That could have been... I think...
And again, I'm sure he has a multiple-year contract. I don't know what it looks like, but... If the defense takes a visible step back, if they're not tackling well, and if Clark Lee is not able, if he's not ready to be a defensive coordinator, then after the season or at that point, get a home run hire and get it right.
Yeah.
But I'm fine with 1 year because Notre Dame's not going to be, they're not going to be vying for a playoff spot this upcoming season anyway.
Well, they did it last year. They
with a new coordinator.
Yeah,
but
they brought in Chip Long.
I think with the players...
Which he had 1 year of experience.
With the players they have, I just do not see it happening. And with the schedule that's coming up, I just don't see it happening. But
I do. At first, I had been excited, but I do think it was a good idea to promote Clark Lee. And hopefully that'll keep Coney from going to the NFL, but at this point, it doesn't seem very likely.
So, yeah, Tillery, did we talk about Tillery?
No.
Okay. I haven't heard anything from either of those two. They have a few days left over to make a decision. The longer it goes, I think the better it is for Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And for Notre Dame football fans. Tillery is going to graduate in May. He does want to graduate. That is important to him. And I guess it just comes down to, do you want to go through this one more year, one more time, elevate your draft stock? Because you definitely, both of these guys will elevate their draft stock by coming back and playing another year.
Yeah. I think Tillery is coming back because if he wants to graduate in May, that's only a couple months away. But if you go to the NFL draft, he can't do that. There's just no way. He has to start his training now. Then as soon as he gets drafted, he's got to report to the team, and it would be delayed. And I think he really wants to graduate. And so I'm predicting that he's going to be back.
If this team had the opportunity to win, to get to the playoff, I think we would have seen guys like Josh Adams return. I think we could have seen other guys return. But I think what's important to what you said with Tillery, gut feeling too, is that he's going to come back. Coney, I do think is probably headed to the NFL. Although the longer it goes, the better our chances are.
My opinion on Coney: if Clark Lee wouldn't have been promoted defensive coordinator, he would be gone for sure. I think this is kind of making him think about staying. And here's the thing. This year, he didn't start every game and kind of came out of nowhere because we weren't expecting this big a season out of him. He has to know that he's going to be the star and one of the leaders on this defense next year.
He could very likely be a captain. And he'll definitely be the focal point of the defense. I mean, the opposing offenses are going to be looking where he's at, looking where he's lining up. He'll probably be the Mike linebacker as well.
I'm going to say right now that he's coming back. I think Clark Lee is visiting him every day, telling him to come back.
Wooing him.
And convincing him that he's going to be the leader and is going to have an amazing year and will make way more money.
Well, and again, I think this would be easier to sell too if Notre Dame would have a good chance to get into the playoff. And again, they can make that pitch, and from their perspective, they can say, yeah, we lose a lot of guys in offense, but our defense is going to be better because we've got you coming back. And this time, instead of the offense, it'll be the defense be 2012 again.
Yeah.
Or however they want to spin it. So yeah, there is a way to spin it where Notre Dame has a chance. But I hope they do, because yeah, I'd love to see both those guys back. All right, what else do we have here?
Well, Alize Mack sounds like he's coming back. You know, obviously he should. And I didn't really expect him to leave because I guarantee he wouldn't have got drafted. But he did. He posted some on Twitter the other day, which I don't know how many times he said he's getting off social media and on Twitter, but he is on Twitter again at the moment.
Well, every time he puts his phone down, it's getting off social media.
Oh, true. That's a good point. He said, "In the lab, my fire has been lit and the world continues to fuel it. To the loyal Irish fans, this will be one for the books. I'm going for it all. It's time to be exactly who God made you to be." Josh Adams' mom replied to it. So,
what did she say?
"Bless you, Alize. I'm going to miss the brightness in your face. Keep pushing, baby. God has a plan for you, is for you. Nobody can stop his plan for you. I'll be back to see you dominating on and off the field." He's just, there's only one Alize Mack. Last year it was the TikTok before the season started, and he was going to make the greatest comeback Notre Dame has ever seen. But he has to start putting as much effort into practice and on the field as he does in his tweets.
Well, here's the thing.
And social media.
When you read that to me the first time before we started recording, I just laughed. I mean, yeah, Alize, he's got all the natural ability in the world. And you talk about putting in the work, but telling us, I don't know.
Here's,
I would rather just see it on the field than hearing about it on.
Well, here's the thing. He has all Instagram. The talent. I think if he puts his mind to actually being good at football and focusing on that, on the small things, he could have an amazing year. He could be one of those guys, be the Jerry Tillery.
And,
that goes from just seeming like we're wondering if he even wants to play football to having a very good year.
And, here's
it's starting to put pressure on him as far as if he wants to play in the NFL, he's going to have a good year.
Yeah. And here's one area you can spin it. You can spin it that, hey, the offense is losing a lot of parts, but Alizé, if you come back, you can be the focal point. Yeah, you do need to put in the work, and you need to be more consistent as a pass catcher.
You need to catch the ball.
As a route runner. And, yeah, all of those things, blocking.
He just has to stop worrying about the NFL, about making a huge play, and just focus on catching the ball. I think it's just a matter of focusing. He's, instead of just catching the ball, he's already thinking about his touchdown celebration.
I agree. He's already thinking about the reward at the end and how great it's going to be great, instead of just doing the little things it takes to get there.
Yeah. But the drops, I remember...
work on them traits.
Anyways. So yeah, there's definitely more changes, coaching changes, than what I expected coming out of
the season. I didn't expect any.
Here's what I'm going to say. I'm not down about this. I'm not worried about losing all these coaches, because if you want to be a good program, this is how it's going to be. All the good schools lose coaches every year. And if you want to be a good program, you have to get used to this. This is part of being a national team.
I agree, but I'm not sure Notre Dame's to that level yet. Here's the problem. Some of these switches,
like Elko going for the same position at another school. I mean, they're not like jumping to be head coaches, something like that. But if Notre Dame goes to the playoffs, this is going to happen again.
It will happen again. I'm not convinced. If these hires end up working out, or after 1 year, if they do end up hiring an outside defensive coordinator, if that guy is exactly what they need and is solid and the defense keeps on improving, or at least doesn't take a major step backwards, then I'll have some more confidence. But I'm not convinced that Brian Kelly can hire 9 out of 10 assistants and they pan out and be great at their job. With Nick Saban, their defense and offense, I mean, it's always solid. And often they do get guys like, who's the guy that went to Florida?
Lane Kiffin.
Like Lane Kiffin. You know, guys that
had even
been head coach, coming back down to be a coordinator.
Yeah.
But you're right. We should look at this as...
Notre Dame won 10 games and a good bowl game, so they got a lot of attention. That's what made people look at these coaches, because they were doing stuff right at Notre Dame. They were wanted coaches. And if Notre Dame is going to continue to have success, this is going to continue to happen.
Does Notre Dame have a system in place, though, where is it creating great assistant coaches, or are they just hiring great assistant coaches that end up getting head coaching jobs at some point? Because I feel like at Alabama...
Well, they feel like they're getting there.
At Alabama, I know we just talked about they're getting guys who had been former head coaches, but I still feel like they get guys in there and they just adapt to the system and become better coaches from being at Alabama.
Well, I think, especially with the offensive line, this should be an attractive job for somebody, because Harry Heastand has created a good, like, they can keep that going.
They have a good room there, yeah.
They can keep that going. And I think with Elko being there, he set up the defense, got him on the right track. We saw it at Wake Forest. They kept building on that and kept going. And I think with Lee being the defensive coordinator now, they can keep going with that, and there won't be as much of a drop-off. I mean, I think they're getting to that point where they can keep switching out guys.
I hope you're right. All right. Anything else?
I don't think so.
Okay, thank you guys for listening. If you want to, head over to the forums, forums.irishsportstalk.net. Follow us on Twitter at Irish Sports Talk. And there will be some big news coming here in a few days of Coney and Tillery. Are they going to the NFL or are they coming back? So we won't do a podcast on Monday. If there is major news we need to cover, we might do it on maybe middle of the week. Otherwise, it probably won't be until the following Monday when we get back to recording on our normal schedule. Anyway, thank you guys for listening, and until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.